Hello, and welcome to Ask the Pastor, the program that provides great Bible teaching and you, the listener, with the opportunity to ask your questions. Hosted by Jim Simmons and Pastor Charles Lyons, we look forward to reading and sharing the Word of God with you. Now, in addition, we set aside time in each broadcast to hear your prayer request and go to God in prayer. The program is interactive, so be a part of Ask the Pastor.
Good evening and welcome to Ask the Pastor. I'm Jim Simmons and we're happy that you've joined us tonight. Not just any night, no. This is Valentine Eve. Those who know the source of real love can appreciate this time more than the marketing world could dream. So as you might imagine, we believe that tonight's program will be a blessing to you. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce to you the pastor of Ask the Pastor, author, lecturer, and teacher, Dr. Charles Lyons. Doctor, how are you this evening? Happy Valentine's.
Well, thank you. Happy Valentine's to you as well, and certainly to your family. And this is a very special time. We're excited to have our listeners with us. It's always a very special time when we can take a break through the week and get into God's Word, celebrate, draw closer to God. And tonight will be a little bit different. Because we do have a different focus, and yes, we are anticipating Valentine's Day coming up just tomorrow. So this evening we want to sort of set the stage, maybe get a little of the history, and also take a quick look at some of the wonderful elements of Valentine's. However, I do recognize that for some of us, you know, about now you're actually trying to figure out, well, what could I tune in instead of that tonight? So maybe Valentine's doesn't bring you the best of memories. Maybe there's a guy or gal out there that's a little burnt out from dating, and maybe you're one of those folks that look back and say, well, you know, it's a less happy Valentine's and more the Valentine's Day Massacre. So
wow.
I want you to know that this night can still be special, and we'll offer some reasons why it can be. You know, maybe you were married to that person who was the true romantic. The true romantic. How true were they, you say, Jim?
How true?
Oh, man knows how to pick up on it. Thank you. I know of a gentleman whose true love was so faithful that she actually left him on Valentine's Day and filed the divorce papers on their anniversary. I mean, that's romantic.
Whoa. No.
Yeah.
Oh.
So you see, if you're in that category, I want you to stay with us because this isn't going to just be all for marrieds, all for singles. It's going to be for those who could use some healing as well as those who would just like to know a little bit more about the time we call Valentine's. So, Jim, let's start the program off right. Why don't you begin by opening us up in prayer?
Heavenly Father, we gather tonight to study your word. Father, we ask you to superintend this study tonight. Give, I pray, Dr. Lyons clear direction and the exact words you would have him deliver. It is our desire that you would use this time to do business in our hearts and minds, Father. Father, you know our every hurt, our every need, our every fear. May we be attentive and good listeners. And Father, may we not just hear your word, but may we put it to use right where we live in our daily lives. Father, it's in the name that's above all names, the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, before Pastor Lyons begins tonight's study, let me take this opportunity to suggest that you invite your friends and family to listen and be a part of Ask the Pastor. It's interactive. Remember that after the Bible study time, you can call to Ask the Pastor your questions by calling 1-646-716-7765. Now, if you're listening from our archives, the number to call to leave a question or a prayer request is 1-866-275-4472. Choose option 1 and leave your first name and question after the tone. Now, additionally, we encourage you to visit our website. Now, you'll find us at www.writelyons.com. That's W-R-I-T-E-L-Y-O-N-S www.thepastorsmoment.com.
Imagine, if you will, what it would be like if your country was conquered. The new government takes over. Life is totally different. You are little more than a teenager, and you're taken captive and moved to another city. Held in comfortable surroundings, make no mistake, you are a prisoner. Told what to eat, what to study, even when and how you will pray. What will you do? If you were Daniel that was written about in the Old Testament of the Bible, you would stand up for what you believe. In his book, Daniel, A Commentary of Prophecy, Dr. Charles Lyons goes through the book of Daniel and gives you lessons from Daniel's life that are totally needed today. Follow the lessons learned and the stands Daniel took against rulers, government corruption, political intrigue, and people of compromise. Learn from his life as a teenager, middle age, and finally as a senior. Get your copy of Daniel, A Commentary of Prophecy today.
You may know the Lord, but how much do you know about the Lord? Starting March 6th and through April 10th, we will be teaching and answering questions about Jesus, salvation, and eternal security. The best thing that ever happened in your life was accepting Jesus Christ. Now take the next exciting step. Learn about the one who saved you and what being saved really means. Join us on Ask the Pastor for 6 exciting and fun weeks as we study Jesus, salvation, and eternal security.
And we certainly trust that you will join us as we begin in the month of March, really touching the very important aspects of what it means to believe and know Jesus Christ as Savior and the security that comes from that. Now, as we were saying, this is, well, actually almost Valentine's Day. Tomorrow will be Valentine's Day, so we trust everybody is either anticipating a wonderful day, maybe you've already put some plans in place, or maybe you're just sort of barricading and putting sandbags around the windows and anticipating, oh, another rough day. But, you know, it can be a romantic time. It can be a sad time. But always, it should be a time that we focus on love, real love. Every February 14th across the United States and other places around the world, candy, flowers, gifts are exchanged between loved ones on the name of St. Valentine. However, do you really know anything about why we celebrate Valentine's Day?
Well, the history of Valentine's Day and the story of its patron saint, it's shrouded in mystery. We do know that February has long been celebrated as a month of romance, and that St. Valentine's Day, as we know it today, contains remnants of both Christian and ancient Roman tradition. But who was St. Valentine, and how did he become associated with this holiday?
Well, you know, Jim, actually it's sort of an interesting situation. One version of the history would take us to the Catholic Church history. The Catholic Church recognizes at least 3 different saints named Valentine or Valentinus, all of whom were martyred. So as we say, it can be a pretty tough month. Now, one legend contends that Valentine was a priest who served during the 3rd century in Rome. Now, Emperor Claudius II decided that a single man or man would make a better soldier than those that had wives and families. He outlawed marriage for a young man. Now, Valentine, realizing the injustice of the decree, defied Claudius and continued to perform marriages for young people in secret. When Valentine's actions were discovered, Claudius ordered that he be put to death.
Other stories suggest that Valentine may have been killed for attempting to help Christians escape harsh Roman prisons where they were often beaten and tortured. According to one legend, an imprisoned Valentine actually sent the first Valentine greeting himself after he fell in love with a young girl, possibly his jailer's daughter, who visited him during his confinement. Before his death, it is alleged that he wrote her a letter signed "From Your Valentine," an expression that is still in use today. Although the truth behind the Valentine legend is murky, the stories all emphasize his appeal as a sympathetic, heroic, and, most importantly, romantic figure. By the Middle Ages, perhaps thanks to his reputation, Valentine became one of the most popular saints in England and France.
Now, that truly is a wonderful thought. Now, what should come to mind for us today, and especially this evening, is that when we say love and deal with love issues, what are we really talking about?
Well, we're talking about puppy love, teenage years, real love, when people fall in love and get married, and, of course, God's love to us. You know, Pastor, I looked up because I think everyone has some idea of puppy love, but I looked it up, and it's also known as simple infatuation, a crush, or kitten love. It's an informal term for feeling of love, romance, or infatuation, often felt by young people during their childhood and adolescence. It's named for its resemblance to adoring, worshipful affection that may be felt by a puppy. It may also be able to describe short-term love interests. And I thought it was kind of interesting because when you think of puppy love, don't you think of kids falling in love with a young girl and a young guy, and they just they seem giddy, and they just want to hang out with that person. You remember those days?
Vaguely. It seems more like they're in love with love itself, don't you think?
Yes. And it seems like, you know, even falling in love with your teacher. I remember feeling that way about one of the teachers I had. Isn't it amazing you remember that teacher the most?
Oh, that's true. That's true. And it's on the bright side, the ones that seem to be the most troublesome is we forget the quickest. So for those teachers who are listening that are the brutes, you know, you'll be long forgotten by now. But for those who have a genuine love for teaching and really influence their students in wonderful ways, just a word of encouragement. You will be remembered as the years go by. You know, there's another aspect to love that comes into play, and the honesty is that when you're going through a divorce or divorce recovery, it seems like love is a million miles away. It seems like that person that you were so enamored with has suddenly become your worst enemy. The way I've described it to people sometimes is that, you know, it's like that one person is two people. The one you fell in love with, that you loved, that you trusted, that you could talk with, feel safe with. And there's this other person out there that you meet and all the shields go down because they sure look like that person. And suddenly there are sharp things that come out of the tongue that cut and never really heal comfortably. And so for those who are facing that aspect of love, that have dealt with a divorce, I would challenge you to remember, first of all, that God is not in divorce. God gives us both a free will. Sometimes our free will went in with open eyes and expectations and desiring to honor God in a relationship. And what happened in the process was the fact that maybe the other person hadn't put Christ first. Maybe they were in love with love, or maybe even lust. Maybe they just wanted to change their situation. Whatever the case, as time went by, they couldn't continue faking knowing love. So if you're a believer and you've gone through a divorce, I would encourage you to realize that the same one that created you created passion, heart, and compassion in your heart and life, that you can be healed, that you can grow stronger, that you can hold your head up. Realize that that other person may have moved on and taken their free will and chosen to disobey God, but you have an opportunity to take those days and draw closer to God, to build the relationship that he would have with you and perhaps with others. So don't be afraid of allowing the growth and the power of God's love to come through you and begin a healing process. And, you know, going to a slightly lighter note for those who are still in love with love and hopefully experiencing love, you know, it can seem a very romantic thing.
L is for the way look at me. O is for the only one I see. V is very, very extraordinary. E is even more than anyone that you adore can love. Is all that I can give.
just a game for two. Two in love can't make it. Take my heart and please don't break it. Love was made for me and you. Love was made for me and you. Love was made for me and you.
Well, we certainly thank Nat King Cole and, of course, the Esquire Players. They always do a great job. But, you know, that is how some people see love. It's, you know, just L-O-V-E, and it's lively, it's exciting, and it's, but it's sometimes those early stages of the love. And, you know, if we're not careful, we wish we were on the next stage. So the reality is that love takes a lot of work. Hit tomorrow's Valentine's Day. Put the work into it. Keep the romance alive. You know, it's wonderful at the beginning, but it can be precious in a lifetime if the person is willing to nurture it, to spend the time to raise the other person's value in their mind and in their heart. I think one of the sweetest things either spouse can do, either person in a relationship can do, is to look at that person, not through eyes of lust, not through eyes of selfishness of what you might want from it, but to look at that person through the eyes of God and look at them as a soul, as a person who is growing in Christ, and look for ways to encourage them, to lift them up, to let them feel safety, security, peace. When we take the fruit of the Spirit and bring that as the offering to that person, it is amazing how close they will get to God and become the person that you truly could fall in love with. Because if you don't, what you'll be doing instead is laying a foundation to bring on, instead of joy and peace, hurt and pain. Jim?
Well, you know, love can also be seen through those who have been hurt. And I think we have a song that introduces that, Pastor, and then I'd like to maybe make a comment about hurt when it comes to love.
Doesn't it, Jim?
Well, it's hard to go any further than that. I was going to tell a quick story, but I think Pastor, you've heard me say this before, and when we're taking calls for prayer, we get a lot of calls about people that are going through a divorce or have been through a divorce and their children involved, and it's a serious an event that there's no winners. Everybody loses. Everybody hurts. And I remember several years after my divorce being in church, and the pastor was talking about, he had spent part of the time talking about the responsibilities of the husband and responsibilities of the wife. And the topic, I think, was making your marriage sizzle. And it was very interesting. But he brought up something that cut me to the heart. He said, gentlemen, you are to be, you're called by God to be the spiritual head of the household. And I was instantly convicted. I knew that not only was I the majority reason of the divorce and that I had a 2-year-old daughter that this was going to irreparably affect. And it convicted me so much, I'll tell this quickly. I go home and I call my ex-wife. We don't call her ex-wife. She is my former wife. And I asked her, I said, have you got a minute? And she said what she usually did.
What do you see, James?
And I said, I just got back from church, and I got really convicted because I let you down, and I let my daughter down. And I said, I was called to be the spiritual head of the household, and I was nowhere near on target. And I said, I'm calling to ask you to forgive me. Many years after our divorce, forgive me. And you know what she said? There was a long pause, and she says, you know, James, I've known you're a Christian for a long time, but now I know you're a practicing Christian. Of course I forgive you, of course. And from that day forward, and you would have never convinced me when we were going through the divorce and the years following our divorce, how it just cripples you. You feel like a total failure. You feel like you've impacted not only your life and your former wife's life, but that baby. And I tell you, from that point forward, Pastor, I've changed. And it makes you remember what God tells us, that he, as a Christian, he'll take all the bad and turn it to good. And we have been close friends ever since. I am very close with her and her husband. I could call him my husband-in-law. And we all spent Christmas, the four of us. My wife and I have been married 15 years. And we spent Christmas at my daughter's house here in Houston. So I'll just tell you that there is, you know, love hurts, yes. Divorce hurts. But there is later a day you'll look back and say, God, I see where you were growing me up. And I see how you mend those hurts.
Oh, that's really wonderful, Jim. You know, it's sort of like if you've ever gone out on a construction site, what you're going to see a lot of times is dirt, mud, holes, you know, maybe cement poured, maybe cement being poured. And you're thinking, who in the world would want that mess? Mm-hmm. But one day, what you'll see is a beautiful house that's like everything you sort of dream about and having that perfect place to move in and build your home.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in a lot of ways, that's young love. It's pulling back the dirt, it's digging the hole to lay the foundation. And if we take the time to lay the foundation, even if the rest of the world looks by and only sees a mess, what God can see is the foundation going on to an incredible life as a married couple and children being growing. So it's, you know, real Christian love is something the world doesn't always understand when they look at it. About the only part they sort of grasp is when they see the finished product that has taken years to build. And then they're envious of having something that special. Jim, how about reminding our folks, what about God? Does he have a heart in all this as we look at real love?
Well, you know, I often think we've heard how it grieves God's heart to see, and we remember, you remember when Jesus was overlooking Jerusalem, and the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept?
Yes.
So God's not only got a heart, but you remember, he loved us when we were unlovable. He loved us when we were yet sinners, he tells us. So he, when I think of love, I can't even relate to it. It's so big, I can't relate to it because he's given us a commandment. We are to love God with all our heart, and I think the order is important. Heart, our soul, and our mind. I think that order is important. But then he goes on, I mean, if that's not hard enough to do, because who has that much time and who has that much inclination to spend and love God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul? And then he makes it a little harder, I think. Love your neighbor as you love yourself? Wow. His idea of love is a lot grander than mine, Pastor.
Pretty all-encompassing, isn't it? It's like there are no walls up unless there are walls to protect our homes, to protect our families, our children, because we want to protect them from those who don't truly love, those who don't value them as precious gifts from God.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're trying to see God first in our relationship, in our home, then it takes sacrifice and it takes, you know, a willingness to put God first, to protect your home, to set healthy boundaries, And the amazing boundaries that Christians try to set in their homes is amazing, because what it does is it keeps evil out, it keeps temptation out, but it lets the person you love in, unrestricted, always welcome. It lets the children know it's safe, it's pure, it's okay to be here. And I think that's a special kind of love that can build walls that work one way, and that is to let those that you need to show they're safe and know they're loved in, and yet keep the hurt and the pain out to the greatest extent possible.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
Well, you know, I think the impact on children, you said secure and safe for the children. I was fortunate. I grew up with a mama and daddy, and they both lived in the house with us, and I could see arguments, but it was like a vapor. You'd blow up, and then everybody would be hugging and kissing again, and you wake up the next day, and it was just normal to have disagreements, but I never felt like they were going to toss the towel and leave. And so my daughter and I today, we sometimes laugh about the way it really bothers me that I've, she said, well, Dad, you've scarred me for life, and you know, she'll laugh about it. And she's very well adjusted, because I think she saw her mom and dad love her so much. And so I think that we get selfish. And I tell folks sometimes that call in, and I say, you know, I think divorce a lot of times is nothing but selfishness. I want it my way, and I can give you every reason in the book why it should be my way. And it's nothing but immaturity and selfishness. And I can look back on it now and say, oh, boy, you failed miserably. But, again, you see me later, and God's dusted me off and put me back in there, and it's a memory. I wouldn't want anybody to go through a divorce, but I'll tell you that God does change our hearts and works it for good.
That's so true, and a word of encouragement as well. You know, children are a lot smarter than we give them credit for. So if you're the spouse dealing with a divorce, don't feel it your mission in life to tell that child how terrible the other spouse is. Believe me, they can't hide it, and a child will figure it out. What they do want is the security of not feeling like the parent they were with is ready to erupt, and that there's pain and hurt in that home rather than a chance for healing. If you're tearing the other spouse down, you're tearing down somebody that part of them, that child, wants to be able to love, even if it's not easy. And you know, I've even heard of cases where, you know, maybe a father would tell the child, said, you're the reason I'm leaving. I can't stand you. And those are things, if we saw it in a movie, we wouldn't believe it. And yet those are things that I have encountered over time. And, you know, it as you say, it leaves a mark. So let's, even in the time as an adult that's hurting, as you're going through a divorce, let's realize that some of the things we say can leave a scar that is very difficult to heal. And so let's, if you do say you love those children, then encourage them. If you think you don't, at least don't try to destroy them in the process. You know, and for those people who are raising that child by themselves or children by themselves, our prayers go out to you. If you're the one that finds yourself suddenly alone, realize you can be alone with God and start to know love like you've never known it before and experience a healing that you can't begin to imagine.
Mm-hmm.
In contrast to all of that, you know, there is a love that can be had. I think Jim started to touch on it a little bit, that speaks of a love that's starting to mature, to grow. You know, we think of the way God loves us. We think of Isaiah 53, where that sacrificial, that broken heart of God, all the pain and the suffering he took out of the mature love that God brings to us. And as adults, you know, we're trying to grow and mature. Sometimes there are adults walking around that aren't very mature, that aren't very grown up, and that's where homes and marriage and even relationships have trouble, challenges, difficulties. In contrast to that, there should be a love that is lasting, as we said earlier, that looks for the best in the other person, and looks for ways to draw them closer to God. And when you do that, you know, it can be special, it can be romantic, and it can be healing. Have a Valentine.
Don't change your hair for me, not if you care for me. Stay, little Valentine. your figure less than Greek? Is your mouth a little weak? When you open it to speak, are you small? But don't change a hair for me. Not if you care for me. Stay, little Valentine. Stay. Each day is Valentine's Day.
Jim, you have to admit that that really does set the tone for adults who are maturing, growing, not only in their faith, but also in their ability to love.
Mm-hmm.
As a husband, as a wife, there should be a maturity, a kindness in that love. You know, although I admit there's that one little line in the song I've always been curious about, because he talks about, you know, is your figure more than Greek? And I'm picturing this Greek statue made of marble. It weighs several hundred pounds, and, you know, I'm not sure that was a compliment. If so, I'm in pretty good shape.
You have to remember now, this goes back a few years when we weren't so hung up on razor thin and people that are... And you know, Pastor, this is something, I'm so glad you brought this up, because we have such a distorted view on love. The word falling in love is so far from what's true. Falling in love, I've been told, and correct me if I'm wrong, love is really a decision. You choose this, and it's not a feeling that you just suddenly fell in love. It's a decision you make to, you know, a man to take the helm and be what Christ did. You know, we're to love our wives as Christ loved the church, and women are to revere their husbands and to honor and respect their husbands, and so it's not a mystery if somebody would take the time to say, you know what, just like everything else in this world, God's written about it. God has given us a blueprint. He's told us. And we use the big word agape, which means sacrificial love. And see, I look back and I think, boy, you failed miserably. You missed the mark there. And so the good news is that later, like I said, I've been remarried now 15 years to Sonia. And it's not perfect, because she didn't marry a perfect guy. But guess what? I didn't marry a perfect woman. But because we both are Christ-centered, and because Christ is in the middle of this, our survival rate is almost guaranteed. Don't you think, Pastor?
I agree. Once we put God first in the relationship, it just gets better and sweeter. You know, there are people who fall in lust, and it can last a pretty short time. But when people fall in love, as you said, there's a commitment that comes along with it. And the years do get sweeter. And yes, aches and pains come with time, but guess what? There's a storehouse of memories and history that develops between two people who have committed to loving each other, that they have all those wonderful moments they look back on. And the challenges were there, yes, but guess what? It was the peace that came, that knowing the other person would be there with you going through it. And it was the healing that came along with it. You know, nobody wishes for a child who is sick. But the funny thing is, you don't look back and remember the child having a high fever. What you remember is how good you felt after you had nurtured the child all night long, and suddenly see those eyes open in the morning with a smile.
Yeah.
And the relationship, that where we're faced with difficulties that come. And, you know, as humans, we can hurt each other in a lot of different ways, at a lot of different levels. And yet if we both commit from the outside to demonstrate love, honor, commitment, and to care for that person the way Christ loved the church, then suddenly you realize that, well, he was not willing not only to die for the church, but to live for the church. And, you know, maybe if we spent more time caring, living, and honoring our spouse, showing them respect. You know, basically, a lot of people in this world don't even begin to know what it is to have someone who prays for them each day, to care about them, to show them respect. You know, I think for a wife to be able to leave the house in the morning, or maybe if she's in home and able to take care of things, and to know that she has a husband who not only loves her, but is praying for her, that has got to give her a sense of confidence and of peace, of knowing he's committed, he's going to be here for me. And I think the husbands need that far more than any wife ever realizes. We need to know that there's a person in our lives that prays for us, loves us, and that we can count on. Life can be, you know, the world judges you a lot of times on the last project you completed. And then they set the bar higher. And if you expect to have any respect at all, you've got to do more. But there ought to be a place called the home where what they remember is that lifetime of relationships, of sacrifice, of kindness, difficult times and good times, where we spent every moment just trying to build on the relationship and make it sweeter and more comforting. Genesis 2:18 said, "And the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." And you know, the truth of the matter is that God uses singles. He uses special places for couples, strength. And the Bible is just chock full of example after example. But you know, I find that in our church. I find that I'm able to look around. And, you know, I remember years ago, we had a program that aired late at night. It was a couple hours long and focused on singles, tried to reach them. And the amazing thing is, you know, I can't say that we ever had trouble staffing up that call center with other singles who were willing to stay up late on a Sunday night. All of them had to go to work Monday morning just like anybody else. But guess what? They would stay up sometimes, you know, 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning on the phone call with somebody they would probably never meet until heaven, and just let that person pour their heart out and be an encourager for that person, bring them and show them what God's word has to say. And you have to ask yourself, outside of God, why? Why would they do it? See, that's it. It's that commitment of love that comes into a person's heart who puts God first and is willing to try to reach others. And for the couples, they come out so faithfully. You know, we've got folks, single and married, that come out, go in the call center, touch lives from around the world. And, you know, it's amazing. They seem to leave more fired up, more charged up. And what they were able to do for an hour was to touch somebody's life. Again, they might never see. Isn't it amazing that there is enough love to reach out across the phone line to touch people that otherwise feel alone? So I think when you see love that is growing and maturing in an adult, you see something that's pretty special, very encouraging. And as I said, I know we can go through the scriptures and see people like Joseph and Mary who experienced trust, built relationship. You know, Joseph was committed to Mary even before the angel appeared to him to said, "Fear not about Mary," you know, and that what is of her is of the Holy Ghost. Joseph was already trying to do the right thing and keeping her safe and protected. And it just gave him that assurance. But I think sometimes what we have to remember is that God gives us the peace and the confidence after we have demonstrated our commitment to being honored and faithful. And so whether it's Joseph and Mary, Abraham, Sarah, countless other Bible people we can find, it's also nice to know we can look around our churches and find people of character who are putting God first in building the relationship of love in their home and for other Christians and even total strangers. So, Jim, what about that person who, you know, they haven't grown up in a home of love. They don't really have the concept down too good. You think those people can also, in the most awkward of moments, build a relationship?
I do. I think, Pastor, you know, this keeps coming back to me. Nothing can come unto a Christian that God didn't send or allow, not for malice, not to get even, not, you know, he's not going to zap you. It's to grow us up in the likeness of Christ. And mm-hmm. and so I think those who can't find love, I believe that when you stop looking and you become attractive in ways that you don't ordinarily think about, there is something special about a man who bows his head at lunch, you know, and prays. And it could be exactly what that young lady needs to see and to strike up a conversation. Or you just never know. But I think if you're single, I think the closer you draw to God, he knows our desires of our heart, and he says, I will give you the desires of your heart. So he knows that, because when you're single, you just don't think you'll ever meet the right person. And I tell you, and you just do things that the more you push it, the harder it seems to drive it away. So
that's true. Now, tell me, Tim, by any chance, are you familiar with a couple known as Amy and Sheldon?
I am not. Do you have something by them?
There is a TV show out there, and I'm not necessarily recommending the show, but there's a couple on there. They're affectionately referred to Sheldon and Amy as the Shamey. And you would have to say, by all standards, that Sheldon, who's a scientist, is a little challenged when it comes to emotions and showing affection. And so here's a little sample of Amy and Sheldon on celebrating their Valentine's Day together.
Hello.
Hello.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Okay. Shall we go to dinner?
Hang on. As you know, I had planned a traditional evening of romance and gifts.
Yes, and as you know, I planned to pretend to enjoy it. I've been working on this facial expression all day.
And I appreciate your effort. But upon contemplation, I decided I was being selfish. So I canceled our dinner reservations and came up with an even better way to celebrate Valentine's Day.
What is that?
By doing none of it. No dinner, no romance, no gifts. We stay here, order pizza, and watch one of your beloved Star Wars Trek things.
Really?
Well, that's what you'd love, isn't it?
More than anything.
Well, then, that's what we're going to do.
Well, I don't know what to say. This is the most thoughtful gift that anyone's ever given me. And that's including an amazing gift I gave myself earlier today.
I'm your girlfriend. That's my job. And I know gift-giving puts a lot of pressure on you, so whatever you got me, you can return.
No. No. After everything you didn't do for me tonight, I want you to have it.
What's this?
Read it.
Sheldon Cooper, Caltech University employee information?
At the bottom.
In case of emergency, please contact Amy Farrah Fowler. And there's my phone number. This is the most beautiful gift you could have ever given me.
Well, I thought, if I have a stroke or a kidney stone, who would I want to share that with?
And you picked me.
But like you said, you're my girlfriend.
Oh, Sheldon.
Yeah. Okay. Stop ruining Valentine's Day and order my pizza.
Shorty, that was perfect. Is there a love available?
That was perfect.
Absolutely. So what do you think? Is there love available after the person who maybe they feel awkward, maybe they're not the best in their social graces, but do you think they've got somebody out there that they too can love and be loved by?
Absolutely. I think it's, you know, we are a collection of our experiences and our the people we meet. And, you know, you heard them say, and they alluded to it, finally, when you're doing something for others, you get it right back. I mean, it's a great feeling to do. You know, Pastor, I was, tomorrow being Valentine's Day, I wait to the last minute. Is there anybody on this planet like me? Wait to the last minute, and I get online, and I try to get some flowers ordered, and I hate it because it's not practical. You ever feel this way? It's just not practical. Flowers, and they're so high, and to get them delivered. So I went to the grocery store. Now, I have to say this very low, so Sonia can't hear me. Went to the grocery store, and I didn't buy just one. I bought two, and I'm personally taking them to her office in the morning. So the message here is, guys, don't wait to the last minute, but if you do, make it spectacular. So I'm delivering her flowers in the morning because it's not about her getting flowers. If you know women, it's about everybody seeing the flowers that she gave you. Am I right?
That's right. And of course, you've already called 1-800 Marching Band to come and play the romantic you know, song, and little things like that go a long way, don't they?
And I did buy her some sushi for tonight so that she could be prepared for the fun tomorrow.
And yet she loves you. So as we were saying, whether you're Shami or Jim, there is love out there, and somebody is going to love you. But, you know, part of it, as you said, and as Sheldon learned, you know, part of it is just trying to find out what would touch the heart of the other person. You know, 2 Samuel 22:3 says, "The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield, the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. He'll save me from violence." So, you know, let's look for the ways that we can touch lives, that we can heal, that we can mend and build the relationship and give it strength, give it character. I think it is so incredible and powerful and wonderful to see love in action. You know, that's what we see when we look in God's love, when we see the grace that he brought to us. And, you know, there's a song that we want to share right now by Brian Free and Assurance that talks about God's love. And I'll let Jim jump in there after that song and share what's on his heart about that.
God passed through Eden's garden gates alone, but his compassion wrote the pages unfolding through the ages of a love that remains the greatest ever known. For God so loved that
I'm
You know, Pastor, that song said a couple of things to me. And I'm just pulling back from the picture here, and I know it's Valentine's Day. It's love between humans and for humans. But think about this and see if I'm anywhere on track. You know, you keep bringing us back to Scripture, so I just keep thinking about He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So my question was there anything grander? Does God possess anything grander or more valuable? And I would say, you know, He owns everything. He owns all of us. He owns the world and all that's in it. It's all His. We think it's ours. This is my house. This is my car. And yet, of all the riches, all the wealth, and all the things that God owns, didn't He give us the most valuable, the most expensive, the most sacred, the most loved thing He owns to people? Because He loves us.
Absolutely.
That is powerful. And I never thought quite this way. I think if I asked you, did God have anything else He could have done or given? And all I can think of is the righteousness of God, that He is so righteous that He couldn't not be Himself. And He cannot tolerate sin. He knew exactly what to do to save a lost and fallen world. How valuable.
So very true. Absolutely. You know, Psalm 37:25 says, I've been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. So I think God did give the greatest gift when he gave his son. If there had been any other way, he's a loving God, he would have done it. But it took his own blood through his son to restore us, to draw us closer to him. If there's anything else you could add, I would say it's found in Psalm 37:25. Because after salvation, we have the privilege of getting to know that love deeper. At the moment of salvation, the cross of Christ is pretty much like a lifeboat on a ship. It comes out to you and you reach out to it, and you're saved from disaster. But over time, we cruise with the ship, and we find out what it is to know that God is faithful, that he loves us, and not just to save us and keep us from hell, but to draw us closer to him and let us walk with him each and every day. It is a remarkable thing to know the love of God, not just in salvation, but in living each and every day. I think that's pretty special. Mm-hmm. And would you take a minute and just share with people God's simple plan of salvation so they can know him as Savior and Lord?
Absolutely. And you know, Pastor, when I think of that, I, again, you've taught me it's not what I think or what I can say about it. It's what does God say? And we go to Romans 10, and in the 9th verse, that if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And he goes on in the 10th verse and says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Powerful.
Absolutely. And so I would encourage that listener who is sitting there, maybe feeling alone, you're not alone. God has already loved you. His son has already given his blood for you. And we're sitting here sharing God's simple word and plan of salvation with you. So join us right this moment as we pray and you can accept Christ as your Lord and your Savior and make this a Valentine's Day you shall always remember. Heavenly Father, just come to you now and I ask you to save me. I confess my sin and ask for your forgiveness. I believe in my heart God was raised from the dead. And I know that he is the Son of God. And I simply ask you to save me and forgive me of all my sin. All this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And I have to tell you, if you pray that simple prayer, then you can, and you are now a child of God. I encourage you to go to our website at www.rightlions.com. Lower down on the screen to your left, you'll see a little video there that will play through it, take you through the entire plan of salvation, and also share with you the eternal security that you have in Christ. So we thank you for this night. We thank you as we celebrate Valentine's Day. Thank you that, Jim, you've been so faithful once again to come and share with others the things that God places on your heart. I appreciate that.
Likewise, well, thank you, Pastor.
Great. I encourage our listeners to, after you have your great Valentine's Day, to join us again next Thursday night as we come together to honor God, to study His Word, and get closer to Him. And so tonight, as we close out, Jim and I wish you every best thing, every opportunity to be close to God, and to get God's love in perspective, and realize that whatever we do, we can never love the Lord. Good night, Jim.
Good night, Pastor.
He showed us that only through dying we live. And He gave when it seemed there was nothing to give. He loved when loving brought heartache and loss. He forgave from an old rugged cross. I'm gonna live the way He wants me to live. I'm gonna give until there's just no more to give. I'm gonna love, love till there's just no more love. I could never, never outlove the Lord. I could never, never outlove.
Thank you for joining us today on Ask the Pastor. We hope that you found the time beneficial, a blessing, and that you will join us again soon. If you had a question and did not get a chance to ask it, please email your question to us at askthepastor@rightlions.com. We will try to respond to your question either by email or answer it on the air during a future broadcast. Now, on behalf of Jim Simmons, Charles Lyons, and the whole Ask the Pastor team, we encourage you to explore our website for encouragement and great resources. You can find us at www.rightlions.com. So, until next time, read, study, pray, and prepare for your life of faith and freedom.